from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of November 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Dave Dickey will be along, too, with all the ag news for the day. And then I'll tell you how Walmart is wanting to influence local agriculture. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
From the Chicago Board of Trade on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. In the nearby wheat pit, December contract at $5.33¾, down 20½ cents today. March contract at $5.54, 20½ lower as well. And the May contract at $5.68¼ for the wheat, 20¾ lower. December corn futures at $3.85¾, 5½ cents higher. The March at $4.03, up 6. And May at $4.14¾, up 6¼. July corn futures at $4.26, 6¼ higher, and the December contract in the corn pit for the day finished at $4.49½, up 6½ cents. January beans at $9.06½, up 10½. The March at $9.15½, up 10½. And the May contract at $9.26¼, 10½ cents higher. July soybeans $9.35. 11 cents higher on the afternoon. November bean futures at $9.31½, up 11½ for the day. December bean meal futures at $2.71.30, up $5.80. Soybean oil, December contract at $32.32, down 28 for the day. December live cattle futures from the CME Group's livestock site, $88.30, down $1.75. The Feb's at $89.02½, down $1.65. November feeder cattle at $96.02½, 67½ lower, and the January futures at $93.90, settled down $1.37½ for the Jan feeder cattle. December lean hog futures $55.30, 27½ cents lower. February futures at $62.05, down 52½ cents. From the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. December crude oil futures today at $55.25, down $1.79. January at $55.90 a barrel, down $1.70. December ethanol trading at $169.07, 3⅙ cents higher for the day. Natural gas at $6.53¼, up 22¼. And the RBOB at $118¾, down 5⅙ cents on the afternoon. December heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.80 even, just about 3 cents lower on the day. And the propane futures are trading down, or rather up, a penny and 3 cents at 72¾ cents. Gold futures, November contracts, $741.90, down 50 cents. December at $742, down 50 cents an ounce as well. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 84.25 is just about 72 points lower at this hour. The U.S. dollar at 86.65 is down 0.77 for the day. And the CRB index at 246 is down 1.18 on the afternoon. A lake effect snow advisory is in effect for LaGrange County in northeastern Indiana until 7 o'clock this evening. And a lake effect snow advisory in effect for Elkhart County in north central Indiana until 1 a.m. Eastern Time. A lake effect snow watch is in effect also for LaPorte, St. Joe, Stark, and Marshall counties in north central Indiana from this evening through Tuesday afternoon. Here's what our own chief meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll look like across the two-state region tonight in northern Indiana. Cloudy, snow showers and squalls in northern Illinois and central Indiana. Cloudy, scattered flurries in central Illinois and the south, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 15 in far northwestern Illinois to 28 in the deep far south. Tomorrow, northern Indiana cloudy, snow showers and squalls in northern Illinois and central Indiana, mostly cloudy with a few flurries early in the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. The time to check in now on the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel, who is with Bates Commodities, where he serves as their senior grains analyst, joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I have been gone for a week. So since Tuesday of last week, or just about the last time we talked, what has happened in the marketplace primarily?
Well, whole bunch of nothing as far as price goes. If you look at a price chart for the last month and a half, we've been in a virtual sideways trading range, just more of the same. We've basically been grinding sideways here. We'll get a few days up and a few days down, just waiting for some more major news to get the trade excited about pushing the market one way or the other. About the probably the most exciting news that we did see was Friday's Informa's numbers, and they sort of confirmed the trend of a few less corn acres and a few more bean acres as a whole. So now, whether those are the correct exact numbers, we'll find out as we go into this winter, as producers make more of a decision on what they want to do. But that trend is definitely in fact, and that will be the major market maker as we go into 2009.
Which of the three primaries are you looking to lead the market, whether it's to the downside or the upside? Would it be wheat, corn, or soybeans?
Actually, it's going to be the stock market, the Dow.
Okay.
We've got this major problem still going in the economy. We've got the major financial institutions where their stock was trading as much as $200 a share down to $60 a share. A lot of those stocks were $70, $80 a share down to $20 a share. Until we can resume investor confidence or the public's confidence, it's going to be awful hard to get something major going to the upside unless we run into a supply situation such as bad weather or weather concerns in the southern hemisphere, or less acres expected in the southern hemisphere, or something in here to generate reason for the end user or exporter or buyer to come forward and gather some coverage. So you can almost watch the Dow or the crude oil in general to sort of get a feel for which way we're going to go. Now, that being said, I do give the grain market some big-time credit here, because basically if you look at some of the outside factors for the last month and a half, we've been real negative of those commodities, whereas the grains have been consolidating here. A lot of the trade, though, to be more specific to your question, a lot of the traders, especially the TV analysts, believe that the wheat's going to be the dictator here over the short term time.
And would that be to the downside then?
Well, that's a good question. I didn't get a straight answer other than they were just going to, it's going to be a leader here. We feel longer term the Chicago 09 wheat and possibly the Kansas City 09 wheat will be the leader to the upside as we get in this spring, from the fact that the producers we work with, wheat acres are almost zero. And what I mean by that is basically wheat acres are not there. We feel we've got 15% less wheat around, and that will be a market maker as we go into next spring.
And on a similar note, I made my way across Route 36 in Missouri, which runs from Hannibal to St. Joe, roughly speaking. So if you go due west out of Springfield or here from Champaign, you just start due west. It's a little bit north of here. But there were an awful lot of acres once you got into Missouri that still have yet to be put away and in the bin. I would think that maybe, there were bean acres that certainly will be lost. There were some that looked like they might combine, but everybody I saw that was working had, of course, a corn head on. I would think they had at least 30% of their crop that was still left to harvest there. I did talk to a sugar beet grower, sat at the table with him on Thursday night of last week in Colorado, from Colorado, that is. This is an interesting story. He had about 1,800 acres of sugar beet, but he rotated it with 6,000 acres of corn. So it was, if you do the numbers, it was a four-year rotation, corn, so sugar beet, and on that rotation for 4 years. And he had about 4,000 acres left to harvest in Colorado. And like many producers now, he had gotten a call that morning that he'd just buried the combine. So it's going to be a long, tough haul for the rest of those acres. A question for you, I suppose, is what comes out this afternoon in the weekly crop numbers?
Well, we're expecting corn harvest to be about 80% complete. But, you know, that's looking as a nation, but it's a serious issue if it's your own localized area. I mean, with the downdrafted prices here and inputs not coming down at the retail level to the producer, not being able to get the crop out in a timely fashion is just a real fear or a concern on the local level. But we'll be watching the progress. It's going to be strung out clear to year end in through here. This time of year, you just don't get the heat, you know, so the drying days to get the job done. And I feel for those guys, Todd.
Yeah, so do we have to, in the larger range, and I know it's tough on them, but in the larger range, those producers that do have the crop in the bin and safely put away, is this going to have much of an impact, you think, on the marketplace, or is it just all about the outside markets?
Well, the big picture is the outside markets, but in our own little agricultural world, it is supportive to do the fact we've still got several billion bushels of corn out in the field and still some beans out in the field, and those bushels are not accounted for yet. This is coupled with the seasonal tendency for the market to sort of move higher here as we go into early winter, from the point that once harvest is wrapped up in most area, producers are tight holder until at least after Thanksgiving time.
Any final advice from you on this Monday afternoon before I let you go?
Well, the biggest bit of advice I'd say is to watch the technical picture in here. We've been consolidating sideways. I would personally go with the breakout. On a breakout to the upside, I'd be quick to replace cash sales on paper. A breakout to the downside, I would go 100% coverage on put options with the 09 crop.
And then for the end users on the breakout to the upside, would you be in as a buyer?
Pretty much so, on the standpoint that especially catch-up, end users should have been buyers here all along on this break here with
right.
A wider basis, but yeah, you probably need to get some more coverage at least into the second quarter of 2009.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Japan, the world's second largest economy, today says it has slipped into a recession for the first time since 2001, after gross domestic product contracted at an annual pace of 0.4% in the third quarter and after a 3.7% decline in the second quarter. Japan now joins the 15-nation Eurozone in a recession, defined as two straight quarters of GDP contraction. OPEC today cut its forecast for world demand for its crude oil next year due to the slowing global economy, building a case for further oil supply cuts to prop up prices. In a monthly report, OPEC said it expected 2009 demand for its oil to average 30.92 million barrels per day. That is 220,000 barrels per day less than last month's forecast and 920,000 barrels a day less than its estimate for 2008 demand. China's State Council today says it aims to stabilize its annual grain output capacity at above 500 million metric tons by 2010 to meet 95% of its domestic demand. The country is also targeting to improve its grain output capacity to above 540 million tons by 2020 to satisfy expected domestic demand consumption of 572.5 million metric tons. The country's consumption of edible oil is expected to increase to 29 million metric tons by 2020 from 24.10 million metric tons in 2010. Bart Chilton, a member of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and Carol Jett, a retired USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service civil servant, will head President-elect Barack Obama's transition team at the Agriculture Department. Transition officials will analyze issues in each federal department, suggest names for political appointees, and meet with outgoing Bush administration officials. Chilton was Deputy Chief of Staff to Agriculture Secretary Dan Glickman during the Clinton administration. Jett is now a self-employed public policy advisor. And Europe's farmers, especially the wealthiest ones, may see the end of a string of old-style subsidy payouts next year as agricultural ministers negotiate the most ambitious policy reforms in 5 years. European Union farm ministers will meet on Wednesday to negotiate and finalize an agreement on a series of proposals to the common agricultural policy. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming here at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can hear both of those programs on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the nation's largest grocer is looking to buy produce from a farmer in your area. I'll have more on Walmart, Food Miles, and a plan called Heritage Agriculture. Walmart has recognized a strong consumer trend to buy locally grown produce, and it's moving quickly to capture savings and profits from it. There are a couple of names associated with the program. One is Heritage Agriculture. Another is Sustainable Value Networks. Ron McCormick of Walmart says, among other goals, these in-house programs are aimed at revitalizing areas of Middle America that were one-time producers of specialty crops.
It's designed also as part of our outreach to women and minority-owned businesses and farms. So we hope that by using our buying power and the fact that we have 40 food distribution centers spread across the United States, that it gives us a unique opportunity to buy closer to our distribution centers, closer to our stores, and give our customers something fresher and a little bit more like homegrown that I think that we would all want to be able to buy when we go to the supermarket.
McCormick is a vice president at Walmart. All the Walmart produce buyers and their staff nationwide report to him. He says the company is very open about the fact that the sustainable value networks are in good measure about eliminating waste and returning cost savings. Food Miles is one example. If Walmart can find or develop locally grown products, then it can save transportation costs associated with shipping. But McCormick says the Heritage Agriculture Program is about more than Food Miles cost savings for Walmart.
Former tobacco growers are where we've had the greatest level of success. We've done a lot of work with several departments of agriculture. I think North Carolina and Tennessee are probably two of the departments for which we've had the greatest degree of success. And if you'll remember back to some of the settlement monies that lots of states got from the tobacco companies, many of them, and Tennessee is a good example of that, they put aside a good portion of that money to help those farmers that now needed to find something to grow other than tobacco.
Walmart tried to convert some of the Tennessee tobacco farmers to strawberry producers. It didn't work. But cantaloupe and watermelon production did take hold, although those crops are generally purchased through an aggregator. Ron McCormick says Walmart, through its Heritage Agriculture Program, would prefer to work directly with farmers.
Especially as we look towards wanting to influence things for sustainability, where we want to influence the inputs that are put on the soil. We want to influence the pesticides that are used. We want to affect where the product's grown, the diversity of products that are grown. We want to have more input into it, not because we think we're the experts. We just want the assurance that we're causing people to do things better and help us shrink our environmental footprint and theirs at the same time.
The environmental footprint of Walmart on the planet has much to do with its suppliers. And Ron McCormick says as the nation's number one grocery buyer, he and his company are obligated to reduce that footprint and in the process develop small farms and locally grown food supplies. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to check in on the cash grain markets for the day. Greg Johnson of the Andersons, right here in Champaign County, is on the line this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's a gray and nasty day here. It would be a rough day if you had to work outside. Do you have anybody that's bringing corn or beans still into the elevator?
Believe it or not, we do. There's a fair amount of corn that didn't get planted till mid-June, third week of June, and it just never did dry down, and I think some people were waiting to see if that would dry down, and I think it's getting to that point on the calendar where they're just going to have to close their eyes and get it out. So
I take it that it's coming in not only late, but it's still wet.
It is, but the silver lining is the yields are okay. For planting corn that late, to have 170 bushel corn is pretty impressive, so things could be worse. It could have been 100 bushel corn, and then they have to pay the drying charges on that wet corn, but at least it's making 150 or 60 bushels, so that's encouraging.
And that would be dried down at 150 or 60, right?
Correct. 160, 70 wet, 150 dry.
All right. Tell me about the cash grain market at this time.
Farmers are still not selling. Most of them sold enough ahead, and so they are unwilling at this point. They don't need to have the money, so farmers have been extremely tight holders, and as a result, we've seen basis levels dramatically improve. Just 2-3 weeks ago, basis levels here in Champaign County were about 20 to 25 under. Today, we're at 8 under. We haven't seen that same strength translate into the beans, although it has improved about a nickel or so. Basis levels are about 25 cents under the Jan, but farmers are tight holders, and I think they're going to wait and see what happens to these prices come January, February before they really let that last quarter to third of the crop go.
Do you have a wheat basis today as well?
Wheat basis hasn't changed in a long time. We're $1.50 under. Exports have not been good. The fundamentals are not good. Now, that doesn't mean that at some point in time the basis won't get better, because we probably did plant 15 to 20% less wheat acres this year than we did a year ago. So at some point in time that may translate into a better basis, just not today.
Yeah, what's $1.50 compared to normal?
Well, before the last 2 years, I would say a normal basis is 35 to 50 under.
Right.
But the last 2 years, you can throw normal out the window.
Throw normal out the window and plant corn and beans, apparently.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So then if you could give me your bids for the day, please.
Well, sure. Cash corn is 378 up a nickel, January 385. Cash beans are 881 up a dime, January 886. And that lovely new crop wheat bid is 432.
All right. Any final word or not?
The weather looks good for the rest of the week. Hopefully we can get people finished up this week.
Okay. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Somebody from that office right here in Champaign County joins us on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon. If you'd like to hear them again, you can do it on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Just scroll down the page till you find the Closing Mark Report and the Cash Grain segment. We'll be back in 2 minutes when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's Homemade Bread Day. It's also a feast to St. Elizabeth of Hungary, patron of bakers. On this day in agricultural history in 1749, Nicholas Appert was born. Appert was a French cook and inventor who developed the method of preserving food that we call canning. He originally used glass jars sealed with wax and reinforced with wire. In 1865, William Burton was born, an American chemist. He devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled the proportion of gasoline yield from crude oil. His high heat, high pressure process saved more than 1 billion barrels of crude in its first 15 years of operation. In 1869, the Suez Canal opened, linking the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. In 1988, Walmart opened its first supercenter in Wheeler, Oklahoma. It carried fresh meat, produce, dairy products, and baked goods, in addition to other standard supermarket products and discount store merchandise. And in 1996, the World Food Summit concluded. Delegates promised full efforts to ease world hunger. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Josh Darr at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, way up high on, I think, the 22nd floor of the Boeing building. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, how are things up there? It's cold down here.
Yeah, it's starting to feel a little bit like winter out there. The temperatures and the sky these days, scattered snow showers across the listening region here this afternoon, and portions of Indiana are actually getting some good lake effect snow out of this colder air mass. It's flowed out of Canada into the Midwest, and that's kind of the pattern we're going to be in here for a good week to 10 days as we have several air masses coming out of Canada into the northern plains and then through the Midwest as they move towards the east coast of the U.S. And this type of weather we're seeing now will hold through the early of the week of Thanksgiving.
First blast of really pretty cold weather, and we'll get it right through the early part of Thanksgiving. Is this typical of November?
Yeah, this volatility and kind of variability is definitely common for November as you start to settle into a jet stream pattern that's more winter-like than some of the transition you see during earlier portions of autumn. So to have a seven-day stretch here of below normal temperatures across the Midwest, certainly not uncommon. And I guess, from a soft red perspective, as the crop moves into dormancy, these colder temps, and soil moisture basically got a good boost last week with the event across eastern Illinois into Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. And actually, as we're varying here through the next 10 days, the next rain event for the Midwest looks to be Monday of next week. And it'll be predominantly rain here in our listening area. Further up north, you could get some snow showers out of it, but mainly rain, and that'll continue to boost soil moisture reserves for the soft red belt, which will be in, contracting these drier areas, which is good news for the crop.
So soft red is going to sleep for the winter in a good condition, but we do have producers in the far northwestern part of the Corn Belt that are having a tough time yet trying to get corn and soybeans out. I think that'll need to wait until they get a good hard freeze, and they'll probably have to have a melt before that to get some of the snow cover off to get back into the fields.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be an issue here. And I guess we had this event coming up a week from today, actually, and that's really a central and eastern portion of the belt. So the northwestern belt's really going to be in a drier than normal pattern, but colder temperatures. So if there is any snow on the ground here, and if there is any, it's very widely scattered. There's no major snow events on tap for the next 10 days across that portion of the belt.
All right, turn your attention to South America quickly for me.
Things are in good condition. Northern Brazil is getting a decent rainfall, which is beneficial for the crop. Southern portion of Brazil is dry. And then Argentina received some rainfall across Cordoba last weekend. They look to get another event a week from today.
Josh, thanks much.
Thanks.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on a Monday afternoon. You have a good day, and if you're in the field, stay safe out there. It's cold, and, well, stay bundled up, too. I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.